Welcome back to the Boring Ball Podcast, guys. As always, I'm your host, Kenny G, and today we're going to get into the NFL Sunday, college football slate, what to watch, plus winners, recap Falcons, Eagles, and Jets and Pats, Friday mailbag, and a Kenny FanDuel ticket of the week, Chiefs and other NFL games, and we'll get into some other news as well, guys. Thank you guys for listening, and let's get into it. So if you remember my Monday episode, I was telling you guys how I had the Eagles winning by, I think, double digits. But this probably could easily be a game where the Falcons keep it close and make the game really good, or hell, even win it. And I was sitting in my bed watching The Wire. You know, I look at Twitter and people are talking about how close it is. So I jump straight to the living room and I watch it and I see Kirk Cousins deal like crazy and eventually get the touchdown to Drake London and Jesse Bates' game-sealing interception. For the Falcons, it was a big win as they had back-to-back Super Bowl contenders on their schedule. And as of now, I'll talk about that Sunday Night Football game later, but as of now, there's a chance that they can flip this around being 2-1. But who knows? For Nick Sirianni, though, that was an embarrassing call. You know, I just don't see a way you just don't run the ball. I mean, you probably could have got the first down running it with Jalen, Saquon. Even if you didn't, you run the clock down to very little. And the less time you give Kirk Cousins, I think the more pressure he will always have on him. I don't think Kirk Cousins is one of those guys in the league that can deal with like any amount of seconds, like a Patrick Mahomes or maybe Aaron Rodgers could. But for the Falcons, it was a big win. As for the Eagles, it was a big loss in primetime, man. It doesn't get easier for you, too, as they got the Saints on Sunday. And I'll get into that game later. But, man, it was a bad watch for Eagles fans. But overall, a good game, man. And like I said on this Monday show, that this is a flipped coin of a game, man. You don't know if it's going to be really good and close or a Falcons upset, or it could easily be an Eagles blowout. But no A.J. Brown was very evident. Devontae Smith got his, but still, you know, Jalen Hurts, you know, he hasn't performed so well with A.J. Brown, without A.J. Brown, and, you know, his loss was clearly shown, and I think he will not be playing again on Sunday against the Saints, so they have to bounce back and adjust accordingly with that. But yeah, a big win for the Falcons. Drake London showed up, Bijan, Kirk Cousins in primetime, who I thought would never, ever show up no matter the team. He proved me wrong. Was dialed in a two-minute stretch, and it was beauty to watch. He was delivering dimes. A lot of people say you could either debate the Falcons won this game or the Eagles lost it. Of course, that's how it was, but who went out their way to get the game? Was it the Falcons in a two-minute drill, or was it the Eagles in that terrible play call inside the red zone? I think the Falcons went to go get the win. You know, they got it handed to them, but they didn't drop it. They didn't drop the play. They went and delivered in the two-minute drill. As for the Eagles, they dropped the play, and they lost this game. So you can make the argument for both. In another world where the Eagles actually have a brain, Nick Sirianni locks in, they would be, 2-0 right now? But now they are 1-1. Get the Saints on the road, and we'll talk about that later. As for the Falcons, like I said, they're 1-1. Got the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. I'll get into that later, of course, like I just said. But, yeah, both teams with just a bad Monday night game and a huge Monday night game. So, yeah. Now, let's talk Jets versus the Patriots. Now, on Amazon Prime, you know, not much to look forward to. Jacoby Brissett, Aaron Rodgers, and like I keep saying, the Patriots defense, I mean, excuse me, the Patriots offense was never going to be good. And that proved to be the same story. Ramondre Stevenson had 23 yards on the ground, and he got me 0.3 fantasy points. So, shout out to him. DeMario Douglas, though, did the good in stretches of the game. But the big story of the game for, I guess, the Patriots was, at the end of the game, Jerod Mayo put in Drake May. Yeah, unfortunately, he got sacked twice late in the game, but he had 4 completions out of 8 attempts for 22 yards, you know. Wasn't bad, but like I said, if your offense isn't doing good with Jacoby Brissett, you have no reason to just not play May, man. I mean, why not? You know, yes, he's a rookie. Yes, rookie QBs haven't been doing good as a whole. Offenses in the league haven't been doing good, but what does that have to do with anything, man? If your offense isn't moving, if you're not going to win games, why not give the rookie a try? And if it doesn't work with him and he's obviously struggling, make the flip and let him sit a little more. But why not just let him start a game and see how he does? If he does good, keep him. If he does mediocre, give it another week. If he does bad, continue to bench him and start Jacoby Brissett. As for the Jets side of things, Aaron Rodgers looks to get back closer to his form, man. He had 27 completions for 281 yards and 2 touchdowns. The rushing attack of Braylon Allen and Breece Hall looked really good, in my opinion. Braylon Allen, the youngest player in the NFL, 20 years old, number 0. Shout out Russell Westbrook. He had 11 carries for 55 yards. He was He was just all over the field, man. He had three catches as well. Alan Lazard, man, what can I say about him, dude? I thought he was a complete bum after last year, but he's completely turned it around. A clear product of Aaron Rodgers. A-Rod on the head, 18 yards on the ground rushing. He can move a little. I swear the receiving more, man. Garrett Wilson had a tutty on the day. Five receptions, 33 yards. Tyler Coughlin had five catches for 93 yards. Shout out to Tight End University. Shout out to all the big guys of the tight ends, man. And speaking of tight ends, I don't know if it's just because I'm watching Chiefs games and they can't cover tight end, but I feel like tight ends have been showing out these last few weeks, man. And it's going to continue to do the same thing this weekend. But yeah, the Jets win by 21 at home. Aaron Rodgers gets his first few tutties, his first few good plays in MetLife in front of the hype crowd. I'm not a big Jets guy. I'm never really jacked with the team. Not to say it's their fault. It's just because, they've been really bad. But I've always admired their fans. They've always gave great energy, looked good, and it's always been a blast to watch their games, especially when they're good because that crowd is lit. I mean, they are there for the count. They are there to the end. And it was great to watch, man. But for the Patriots, you gotta regroup. You get a long break to decide who needs to start the next week. As for the Jets, A-Rod gets to rest his legs a little more. Zay get a nice little break. But yeah, the Jets win this one by 21. And before we get into some college football, man, I just wanted to, I needed to remind myself of this today is Friday shows are always gonna be shorter than Monday shows. I kind of just realized this when I was using a restroom. I'm like, damn, today's episode is probably gonna be short because at the end of the day, I'm just giving you recaps of two games and give you overview of a weekend and other news. As for Monday, where I'm recapping college football, everything big that happened Sunday, and get in depth about that and covered Monday night's game and Thursday night's game. So Monday episodes are typically gonna be longer, and I'm kind of glad Friday are shorter because I mean, hell, who wants to listen to an hour long podcast on the weekend? As for while you're at work, school, or whatever you do on Monday, you can sit down, listen to my analysis on Sundays and Saturdays games, man. But yeah, let's jump into some college football. Sorry about that. Just had to talk about it. For Friday, tonight, we have a top 25 matchup in the Big Ten, Illinois versus Nebraska. Both teams have big wins over Big 12 opponents, Kansas for Illinois and Colorado for Nebraska. I got Dylan Raiola and the Cornhuskers winning this by 10, 31 to 21. On the CW, we got a quiet 3-0 game as we got San Jose State, who is 3-0, playing Washington State, who's 3-0. And what could be a banger of a game, late night, West Coast, I got Washington State winning by a field goal, 27 to 24. On Saturday, for Saturday's games, early slate looks kind of mid, in my opinion. We got Clemson versus NC State. I think NC State was one of the fakest teams to get ranked this year. Yeah, they got ranked top 15. Yeah, they did look good last year, but that game versus Western Carolina, and then you got blown out by Tennessee. Yeah, I don't think your team's legit, man. And I think getting blown out continues this week as well. I got Clemson winning 42 to 14. In a Big 12 matchup, we got West Virginia versus KU. Two teams who are 1-2 but look to get back into Big 12 race. But by the end of it, I think West Virginia's back in and Kansas continues to fall. I got West Virginia by a point, 28 to 27. That KU squad smells. Don't think they're good. Never did think they were good. But if you lose three in a row, man, conversations are going to be held in the locker room, fan base, and athletic department. But let's get into some Big Ten, man. You got USC versus Michigan, a game to reveal who is the fraud, who is a big fraud in the Big Ten. Alex Orji finally gets the QB1 spot this season. He'll look to bounce back with the Wolverines in this huge game. But who will look to climb up the Big Ten charts? And by the end of it, I think USC will. Give me USC 35 to 30. In a Big Ten and SEC matchup, we got UCLA versus LSU. UCLA looks to cash a big upset in this matchup between two conference powerhouses, but I don't think that happens, guys. Gotta give me the Tigers by double digits, 33 to 20. In the SEC, we got two A teams, not Alabama. But we got Arkansas versus Auburn. Two teams, 2-1, man. Both teams looking to get a big win, of course, to climb up the SEC rankings. But by the end of it, I think it's Arkansas by four. Auburn didn't look good really against California. I think that was a disappointing game and a bad game to lose. But yeah, give me Arkansas by four. And another game, another sleeper you could keep your eyes on. I got Navy versus Memphis. I got Memphis going 4-0 after this one. Of course, my G5 rep in the college football playoffs. I got score being Memphis 23 to 10. In another Big 12 matchup, man, we got a big one. Two top 15 teams in Utah and Oklahoma State. Two teams looking to win the Big 12 this year. Of course, Utah coming from the Pac-12 and Oklahoma State, who has been there, has won it before. And by the end of it, guys, you got to give me Utah and Cam Rising. Give me the Utes, man. I got to win in the Big 12, so this is going to be a big win for them. I got them by a touchdown, 35 to 28. And what could be game of the week? We got Oklahoma versus Tennessee. Thinking about this game, I really don't know who to have as a winner. If it was in Tennessee, if Oklahoma was on the road, I would have Tennessee wiping them. But Oklahoma is a home team, man. But I have to give you a winner, and I think Nico and the Vols get this one by 5 points. 23 to 18 is the score. Tennessee wins this one. In another Big 12 game, I think the Big 12's got some really good matchups this week. Give me Baylor versus Colorado. I think Deion and Coach, Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, man, I think they get another positive win. And they win this one by two scores, 42 to 28. And another late night game and another Big 12 matchup, guys. We have Kansas State on the road as they travel to BYU. This could be an upset alert. BYU, of course, the home team. But I still trust Avery Johnson. I trust the Wildcats to get the dub. I got them winning by 10, 24 to 14. All right, man. Let's get into some other news, man. I think this is one of the first episodes I've had a certain section for just other news, and it's been multiple things to talk about. And for the first one, it's the first time we talk NBA, we talk basketball on the podcast, man. Former MVP and Philadelphia 76er Joel Embiid gets a 3-year, $193 million contract extension. A big one for the big guy. Shams broke the news. And speaking of Shams, let's get into some other news, man. Well, I'll come back to Joel Embiid in a second, but Woj retired this past weekend, and what was a shocker, he's going to go be a GM for the basketball team of his former college, his alumni. But yeah, I think Shams is the guy to replace him. He's the king of the hill of basketball news, man. You've seen guys like Wendy, some Yahoo guys maybe look to replace Woj, but I think Shams is soon to be a free agent, so why would an ESPN go out there and give Shams big money? A funny thing I did see about the Woj retirement was on the Bill Simmons podcast. Shout out Bill Simmons, man. My inspo, my inspiration, the reason I do this. He made a joke about how Adam Schefter got on TV talking about how Woj was just ready to be with his family, this and that, how it was a grueling schedule and stuff. And, you know, you hear guys like Wendy talk about the same stuff, how the schedule's grueling, man. But Bill Simmons broke it down and just basically said this guy wasn't no nurse or doctor during COVID. We all love Woj and these reporters and stuff, but at the end of the day, working in sports is a dream job from, I would say, probably nearly millions, man. For me, it's a dream job, dog. And to say it's grueling, I get it. Schedules can be grueling. But at the end of the day, we should not be getting on TV talking about how he wanted to be with his family and this and that. Like, this guy couldn't see his family for a second. Like, I hate to be that guy, but Woj, unfortunately, this is the off season. All right. I know it's tough for Woj in season, especially the off season and maybe the trade deadline, but dog, he has a lot of time, man. So, shout out Bill Simmons for pointing that out, dog. You know, shout out Adam Schefter, too, though. I can't blame him. Woj probably is away from his family a lot, but it's not as grueling as they're trying to make it seem. And I know I just rambled about some random stuff, but yeah. Shout out Joel Embiid getting a big payday, man, as he looks to get the Sixers a ring. Paul George, Tyrese Maxey. I don't see how they don't make the finals. We'll talk about the NBA probably a month. They still don't return for a few more weeks for preseason, but yeah, shout out the Big Sixer, man. And some media. The Penguin, episode 1 dropped yesterday. Of course, I'm a big Batman guy. Second favorite superhero behind Spider-Man. Matt Reeves is delivering a classic, you know what, we got a Batman universe. You know, the Penguin episode 1 was great. You know, had a great intro and a great, what would we say, outro, great ending. I thought it was beautiful the whole episode, dog. Of course, it's not going to live up to Batman standards because, I mean, hell, you're not going to have the whole Batman team come make this show. But it doesn't matter. I thought the episode was good. It's for sure going to just add building blocks for what will be the next Batman movie. And I can't wait for other episodes. It drops, I think, at 9 p.m. Eastern every Sunday night. So go to that, watch that first episode, tap in. And some music, my boy Future dropped. I haven't listened to the album yet, but now I got to give it a review. I'm going to play some College Football 25 and play the album at the same time to give a proper review. You know, and I hope I can talk about it on Monday, guys. You know, just to add another chapter, add another story to this podcast, man. Talking about sports 24/7, trust me when I say, once we get to the thick of November, December, college football will probably be wrapping up, but still, we got NFL, NBA, maybe talk about some MLB, but man, it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a mouthful. But I'll talk about my what I'm going to do with the NBA, of course, in a month or so. But in other news, we have there was a picture of Michael Jordan, dog. And when I say he had the most yellow eyes ever, somebody's got to check on my boy's liver, dude. We know Michael Jordan, big drinker guy. LeBron, I think LeBron's the same way, but LeBron's more of a wine guy. I don't know what Jordan really drinks. But man, hey, somebody got to check up on my boy. He had lizard eyes, snake eyes. Made us question, was he the real Black Mamba or was it Kobe? Because by the way his eyes look, he could be a real life snake. We never know. Maybe that's the reason he's so good. But now let's get into some MLB. Of course, man, if you follow the sports at all, or especially the MLB, you heard that Shohei Ohtani joined the 50 and 50 club. That is 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases, as he looks to continue to be the greatest player of all time. Today versus the Marlins and in a blowout game where they won 24-4. Shohei Ohtani had 6 at-bats, 6 hits, 3 home runs, and 10 RBIs. He was not on the 50-50 club before yesterday, and now he's the 50-51-51 club. I mean, it was a show to watch. You know, I'm not the biggest Ohtani fan, but I'm a liar for, you know, I don't say I didn't enjoy him. The reason I'm not a big fan, you know, not a big fan of guys going to the Dodgers, dog. Anyways, I'll talk about them in the playoffs or whatever. But I admire the way he plays, dude. LeBron, Mahomes, all these athletes talk about Ohtani because he's one of the greatest athletes to ever play the game because of how good he's doing it. And of course, with the pitching, of course, he didn't pitch this year, but still, man, like, pretty sure he threw a bullpen session a day or two before. And now he comes out here and goes 6 for 6, 3 home runs, 10 RBIs to officially join to make his own 50-50 club. If you told me Shohei Ohtani's gonna have 50 stolen bases, I would have laughed at you because I just can't fathom to think about that. Like that, I don't remember him ever really stealing bases this year. Like I don't remember seeing clips of it. You would just hear, okay, Shohei Ohtani's got like 2 stolen bases on the night. I don't know if he's playing bad catchers or what, man. But I'm not gonna just rain on his parade, dude. I think he's the greatest baseball player of all time. Now the big question of this is, will he show up in the playoffs? You know, unfortunately, he didn't make a single playoff game with the Angels, but now with the Dodgers, can he show up in big moments? Because if he can't, it will be a big failure. It will be the biggest stain on his career. Him, Mookie, what, Freddie Freeman, if they can't show up in the playoffs. And of course, for Mookie, we've already seen what he's done in the playoffs. He's got to lock in this year, too. But a lot of legacies are on the line, though. For all these greats on the Dodgers, a lot of legacies are on the line, man. And you can't deny that. Everybody has eyes on the Dodgers this playoffs. Because what will Shohei Ohtani do? Will the Dodgers flat out dominate? Will the Dodgers choke? That is a big question for everybody. But congratulations to Shohei Ohtani, the greatest baseball player of all time. Created the 50-50 club, 50 home runs, 50 stolen bases. But he took it the extra mile. He started the 51-51 club. Within, what, 9 games to play? What, 8-9 games to play? Could Shohei Ohtani make the 60-60 club? Hell no, but, you know, maybe he'll get close. Let's look at some standings, man. For Cleveland, they clinched a playoff berth. They have a 6.5 game lead on Kansas City for that central spot, which they'll probably grab up. For New York, they have a 4-game lead on the Orioles. Of course, they clinched a playoff berth. In the West, which no team has yet to claim a playoff berth, Houston is very close. They have a 5-game lead on Seattle for the West. In the East, it is a 6-game lead for Philly as they have 91 wins. And they, yeah, have it clinched, but I think they will the next game or two. Milwaukee got their division as they are, of course, 10 games on the Cubs. They win that division by a wide margin, in my opinion. The Dodgers clinched the playoff berth with 91 wins. They still have a 4-game lead on the Padres and 6 on the Diamondbacks. For wildcard talk, the AL, man, it's kind of flipped right now. The Orioles right now still sit at that 4 seed. For the Royals, they still sit at the 5 seed. But after getting swept by the Tigers, unfortunately, which, man, I don't even know what to say about that. You know, Seth Lugo, Cole Reagan's on the mound, and he lost 2 games. Alec Marsh flat out just gave away the last one. The Tigers, though, they're tied with the Twins for that last spot. Both teams, man, both teams want a playoff appearance, and both teams someone needed, man. Royals have a 2-game lead on both teams. And as they have the Giants this weekend, you got Brady Singer, Michael Wacha, and Seth Lugo on the mound. But Wacha starts on Friday night, Singer Saturday, Lugo Sunday. That's a big series for the Royals. You know, you sweep, very well could clinch a playoff berth. If Detroit, who has Baltimore on the road for this weekend series, and Minnesota, who got off a series loss to Cleveland, they have Boston on the road this week, man. So both big series, you know, hopefully for a Royals fan, the AL East teams could clutch up. Boston can win the series or sweep Minnesota, excuse me, and Baltimore can clutch up and handle the Tigers. Baltimore walked off the Giants on, was it Wednesday? Excuse me, it was either Wednesday or Thursday. Forgive me if I can't get through the date, but they got that big win. Hopefully, momentum continues to go and they can handle the Tigers. That is the AL wild card. Let's look at the NL. It's San Diego, Arizona, still with the Mets at third. The Mets have a 2-0 lead over the Braves for that third spot. Of course, the Royals play the Braves later in the season, so I pray for my Royals. Hopefully, the Braves get eliminated before then. But yeah, around the same action, around the same motion. I think MVP for the NL has officially got locked up. Of course, on the last time I talked to MLB, I was still riding for Francisco Lindor, but now I kind of look like an idiot. But shout out Lindor, though, still deserves his praise. But yeah, Shohei Ohtani walks away with it. For me, I'm still a believer on Bobby, which should get it for the team for what the flip around he's had as a player and as a team. And if they make the playoffs, why not give it to him? I think if he got the division, he could easily won it, but it's not easily, but he could have a very big chance to win it. But now, as only a wild card team, unfortunately, I don't think they're going to give him the love, but he deserves some votes. Aaron Judge shouldn't be a unanimous MVP. Shohei Ohtani should, but not Aaron Judge. That's my opinion. But yeah, man, that's MLB talk on Monday. When I talk MLB again, it very well could be different for the Twins, Tigers, or Royals in terms of the wild card spot in the AL. For every other team, though, maybe some divisions get flipped. Who knows? But yeah, we'll talk MLB on Monday. Right now, let me give you some winning tickets for Sunday games, guys. I got 4 tickets for you now. This is probably the most I'll ever have. I don't know, but for the first one, I got a money line ticket, dog. I got the Dolphins at +188 and the Chargers at +104. I'm not gonna give you the payday. We a little broke right now, so I'm gonna put some money in there, but can't give you the payday on that one. But that's one you should follow. Justin Herbert is limited. That is something to know. So maybe don't put this in until you know when Justin Herbert is playing or not. But yeah, of course, one of my favorite, the anytime touchdown scorer guys, I got Nico Collins, DJ Moore, Josh Jacobs, and Derrick Henry. Nico Collins playing the Vikings, DJ Moore playing the Colts, Josh Jacobs playing the Titans, excuse me, and Derrick Henry playing the Cowboys. I think the bottom two can easily get a rushing touchdown versus the Titans and the Cowboys. As for DJ Moore, man, you just gotta hope the Bears offense licks up. You just gotta hopefully pray that they wake up, man. For Nico Collins, I think he gets his, man. One of the best receivers in the league this season and over the last 2 years. So yeah, now, those are my two NFL broad ones. Those are just covering the other league. But now let's get to some Chiefs. I cooked up a little something for both, a win or a loss for me. If the Chiefs lose, I'm gonna hopefully walk with some money. If the Chiefs win, hopefully I'm gonna walk with some money, man. For the first one, I got Kelce getting a touchdown at any time and him getting over 47.5 yards. I got Kansas City and I got them -3 on this game. That's if the Chiefs win. That'll make me some money. But on the flip side, if the Falcons win, I got the Falcons money line. Of course, Travis Kelce getting a touchdown anytime. I think this is a big game for Travis Kelce, but I'll talk about that a little later. But and I got Kyle Pitts over 38.5 yards. I think Chiefs haven't been able to cover no tight ends at all. And Kyle Pitts is a good tight end, in my opinion. He's finally got that quarterback, and I think Sunday night is the night he wakes up and he gets a big game. But that's it for the tickets. I'll go over them again. For my money line ticket of the week, I got Dolphins and Chargers. For my anytime touchdown scorers, I got Nico Collins, DJ Moore, Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry. For my Kansas City wins the game ticket, I got Travis Kelce anytime touchdown scorer, over 47.5 yards, and the Chiefs plus -3 spread. And for the Falcons, if they win, I got the Falcons money line, Travis Kelce anytime touchdown scorer, Kyle Pitts over 38.5 yards. Forgive me for my voice just cracking out right there. But yeah, those are the winning tickets of the week. If you want to treat the family this week with dinner, those are the tickets you follow, man. Those are the tickets you put in. The money you want to put in is up to you. $5, $1, $10, $20, $100. Regardless of it, you're going to make money. For one you need to watch out for, though, is the money line. The Dolphins and Chargers. They say Justin Herbert is very limited. Who knows if he plays? But if he does, cash that. I think the Chargers win. If he doesn't, I'm a little skeptical because the Steelers' offense is pretty bad. But hey, who knows? You get the final say, all right? I give you the tickets, you get the final say. You get the neg, you get the chance to add it to it or take off of it. That is your decision, man. You're the follower, and I'm just the talker. All right, guys, let's get into a Friday mailbag. Man, this is probably gonna be one of the shorter ones, man. Of course, I got bombarded by Diddy questions again. Please stop asking me about Diddy. I don't associate with him. I don't know who that guy is, man. He's a pervert, all right? Keep him locked up. But for the first question, I got my guy Abdi asking, favorite Dak Prescott playoff moment? This is hard. This is a hard one for sure. I'd probably for sure have to go without just what he did last year versus the Packers. That was fun to watch, man. And I think Dak Prescott could deliver on that again this year. So that's going to be fun to watch. For my next question, it's my boy Hubert. My brother asked, can true nothingness ever exist, or does the concept of nothing require something visual to define it? That's his first question. I think nothingness can exist, you know. But I don't think there is a visual to it, because when I think of nothing, you just sit there and do nothing, you know. To do nothing, you're not on your phone, you're not on your computer, you're not on your game. I think when people say you're doing nothing playing the game, that's a lie. You are doing something, you're playing the game. If you're not, somebody says you're not doing nothing playing on your phone, yeah, dog, you're on your phone, you're doing something. But I don't think there is a visual to doing nothing, because real life, you're not doing nothing. If you're doing something, it would have a name to it. Picking up trash, sleeping, playing the game. So I think it does have a visual. His follow-up question was, if so, is nothingness something we should fear, or does it offer a kind of freedom from our existence? I think this question depends on how you perceive life and how it's going for you. If life is a positive and you're constantly doing something, man, you're filling yourself up with positive stuff, like, you know, playing the game. If you like social media, you like being on social media, being with your friends, doing stuff, doing activities, man, nothingness could add a bit of a fear to it, because if your life is constantly something where you do a lot and you're constantly just filling yourself up with something, that you can fear nothingness. As for when you don't do nothing at all, when you're really just sit down at the crib and maybe all you do is sleep, just sit there, you probably don't need to fear nothingness, as your life could be related to nothingness, you know? This is an interesting question, brother, and I don't think it really could be a freedom to our existence, because I think life is beautiful, and I think there is always something for you to do, something you can find, something that you love. Anybody that says there's nothing in this world that they can do that they love, they're lying to you. There's always something you can find to do that you love and like, man. So I think this is a great question, brother. May God bless you, man, and let's get into the next question. My guy Geezy asks, biggest threat to the Chiefs? I think I answered a question similar to this, but I'm going to continue to say the Houston Texans, CJ Stroud, Nico Collins, Joe Mixon. Those guys, I think, have everything to beat us, you know. If you say the Chiefs can't guard a tight end, Dalton Schultz can get open. If we can't stop the run, Joe Mixon is going to get the run. If we can't stop a good elite QB, CJ Stroud's there, man. They have talent all over. Tank Dell, Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs. This is a good team, man. Their defense can get pressure, too. They had over 30 pressures last week versus the Bears. Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, I would be scared for my tackles, dog. So we play them late in season, I think in December on a Saturday. I'll be a big test for both Houston and us, but like to answer your question, the biggest threat to the Chiefs are the Houston Texans. And that's it for Friday's mailbag. Probably the shortest edition you'll get yet, man. I'll be back with next Friday. I'll probably upload the tweet a day or two previous to add more time. So, you know, I only did this a few hours before, so hence that's why we got so many freak ass Diddy questions. Like, I know the guy. The guy's a pervert. Keep him in jail. Man, and, you know, that's why we got limited questions. But, yeah, that's it for Friday's mailbag. Let's get into some NFL. You know, unfortunately, this season, I haven't kept a track of who I have winning or not. I'm probably going to, you know, by the end of this week, I'm probably going to put it all together and give you my wins and losses. And I think that's going to be fun to do, to keep up and see how good I am at predicting winners and losers. Of course, Thursday night, the Jets won. But for Sunday's slate, let's get into it. I got the Browns beating the Giants. This isn't a game I should have really talking about. The Giants are bad. I think Malik Nabers will get his. Outside of that, I don't think the Giants will really compete. I got the Browns winning this one by a couple scores. I don't even want to give you a score. Next, we have the Bears and Colts. What could be a really good game this week, as long as the Bears offense shows up and Anthony Richardson is consistent. But unfortunately, I think the latter, Anthony Richardson being consistent, won't happen, man. I think the Bears defense is too good for that to happen. They have a good pass rush, good secondary. Yeah, man, it's hard for me not to believe why the Bears won't win this one, guys. DJ Moore, I think he shows up, gets himself in that end zone. I think the whole team shows up for the Bears, and I think it's going to be a big week for the Bears offense. You just got to hope they show up, man. It's been back-to-back weeks of inconsistent play. The O-line needs to perform better. I think Caleb gets a big win. It's his mojo back, man, and yeah, give me the Bears winning this one. In a week of upsets, man, I got a few upsets this week, dog. I got the Vikings beating the Texans at home. Sam Darnold, Jay Jettas. I think the Vikings can do it, guys. You know, this would probably be my upset of the week, guys, personally. I think the Vikings can. I think this is a trap game for the Texans. Come off a good win versus the Bears at home. Now you travel to Minnesota and you play Jay Jettas, dog. But fortunately for the Texans, they have a good defense. They have a former LSU Tiger to hopefully lock down. Jay Jettas and Derek Stingley Jr. But I think it will be a good game. If you ask me, I think the Vikings win late. But yeah, give me the Vikings for upset of the week. Next, we got Saints versus Eagles. This could be another upset in your eyes, but I think the Saints are good. And I got the Saints winning this one. Alvin Kamara, Rashid Shaheed, Derek Carr, Taysom Hill. I think this offense shows up, man. And of course, another week without A.J. Brown. I don't believe in the Eagles offense on the other side of the ball, man. And I just don't believe in them. As for defenses, I think the Eagles defense isn't as good as it seems on paper. I don't think they should have gave the Falcons that much air to breathe on Monday. But if they play another, I think, explosive offense in the NFC South and the Saints. And yeah, give me the Saints winning this one. For one, I talked about on a ticket earlier, I got the Chargers beating the Steelers. If Justin Herbert plays, even if he doesn't, I think, who is it? Easton Stick is the backup? I don't know. I don't want to give you 100% on who I think is a backup. But if Justin Herbert doesn't play, give me the Steelers. If he does play, do. If he does play, please give me the Chargers, dog. I think the Chargers win this one. And I don't think it'll be close. I think this will be a big statement win for the Chargers as they prepare for the Chiefs in week 4. For my big trenches, guys, for the people that love the trenches, you got TJ Watt probably lining up against Joe Alt in what will be a great edge rusher versus tackle matchup. You know, keep your eyes on that if you love trenches, if you want to see great work from a great tackle and a great edge rusher. But yeah, give me the Chargers winning this one. And for the next game, another AFC West team, I got the Broncos losing the Bucks. Baker Mayfield, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Rashad White, Bucky Irvin, man. Just a good offense all around. Don't think the Broncos can compete. You got Todd Bowles coaching the defense versus Bo Nix, man. I don't think this is close at all. Bo Nix, hopefully, though, coming out this game, you don't get no interceptions. You get a cleaner game from Bo Nix, but I still think you lose. The goal for the Broncos is to lose and get a clean game for my boy Bo Nix as they look to hopefully get a top receiving prospect in the next draft. For the next game, guys, I got the Packers beating the Titans. I think Malik Willis gets the big win over his former team. I think Jordan Love is questionable to play, but I think it's just an act for the Packers. I don't think there's no reason to throw him out there versus the Titans. I think Malik Willis playing as your quarterback would give you the win over the Titans regardless. But the Titans do have a good defense, though. They played really well the first 2 weeks versus the Bears and Jets. So they can for sure give Malik Willis some fits, but I think just Josh Jacobs and the rushing attack they had last week versus the Colts continues versus the Titans. And as for the Titans offense, Will Levis needs to perform better. Who you got, man? DeAndre Hopkins. He's got to connect, dog. They got to show up. But at the end of the day, I got Malik Willis getting a revenge game versus his former team and getting a dub. For the mid-afternoon slate, I got the Raiders beating the Panthers. You know, Andy Dalton starting. Bryce Young got this is breaking my heart, man. I don't got the words for Bryce Young, dog. Hopefully he gets to start back in later in the season. I don't see this changing much. You know, I've heard other people talk about how this could give the Panthers a really good boost, you know. Former vet QB, you got a vet QB coming into play on the road. Could he upset the Raiders? I don't think so. I think the Raiders flat out dominate the Panthers, and we sit there at the end of the day questioning why even sit Bryce Young if Andy Dalton's giving the same production. But who knows? He's a fake QB. He's played many years before, so he could probably give you a more consistent game than Bryce Young, but I don't think he's going to change a win or loss. Give me the Raiders winning this one. No Tua, no problem. I think the Dolphins beat the Seahawks. Skylar Thompson at QB. I still trust Devon Achane, Jalen Waddle, and Tyreek Hill. I think the offense will still stay explosive. Skylar Thompson can give you a deep ball. Might not be as consistent as Tua. He might not be as good as Tua, but he can give you a good deep ball. And he can deliver a ball to your playmakers, which will be much needed as they look to bounce back after a loss to the Bills last week. For the Seahawks side of things, you had a good offensive performance from Geno and your trio of receivers, Tyler Lockett, JSN, and DK. You look to continue that performance over a Dolphins defense that's been mediocre to say so far, dog. But yeah, give me the Dolphins winning this one. What could be a good game this week? You got the Lions versus the Cardinals. I think the Lions get a bounce back win. I think Marvin Harrison and Kyler Murray will continue to look impressive. But following that loss versus the Bucks, I think the Lions get some much needed mojo after they beat the Cardinals. For the Cardinals side of things, you just gotta hope another great game of Kyler Murray, the Marvin Harrison's connection shows up. Excuse me. The Lions, you got to run the ball, dominate the trenches. Jared Goff got to look a little more consistent than he has been versus the Bucks. But yeah, Amon Ron hopefully shows up. Sam Laporte's been a little quiet the last 2 weeks, but I think it's going to be a good game. But I don't know if he'll be as good as the next game, as we got the Cowboys and Ravens. The Ravens, who are 0-2, the Cowboys, who are 1-1, two teams that had embarrassing losses in week two. Cowboys getting blown out by the Saints, and the Ravens choking a 10-point lead to the Raiders. This is a big question to ask for both teams is, who needs to win more? Does the Ravens need to win more, or do the Cowboys need to win more? In my opinion, I think the Ravens need to win more, you know. If the Steelers can beat the Chargers, which is very likely, the Steelers will be in 3-0, and the Steelers will be have a three-game lead over the Ravens for the division. And I know it's a long season, but being down 3-0 versus a Steelers team that can very well beat you themselves, it's a hard hill to climb, dog. I mean, you got the Bills coming up still. The Ravens need this one bad. As for the Cowboys, if you lose to the Ravens, I mean, you lose to the Ravens. I guess it is what it is. Depending on how you lose matters, you can't get blown out again. That just can't happen in Jerry's world. At home, you can't let that happen. But, I mean, it's not the end of the world if you do lose, man. You still got wild card spot to claim. You already have a win on the season. The Ravens don't. The Ravens need a win badly. You can't start off 0-3 in AFC. You just can't. As for the Cowboys, you can afford to be 1-2 in NFC. You can still salvage your season. It's not over. You just got to look good in this game. Last week, they didn't look good. This week, you need to win, look good, even if you lose. Lastly, for the mid-afternoon, man, give me the 49ers beating the Rams. The Rams' injuries just hurting them. You lose your top two receivers in Puka and Kupp. Your O-line just struggling with injuries, man. Your defense not as good as years prior. It's been a bad recipe for the Rams, man. And I think they're the team of injury this year, man. The injury bug just hit like a pandemic over there, unfortunately. And I don't know if this one will be close just like last week. Give me the 49ers in this one. I think Brock Purdy, Jordan Mason, and that offense, I think they bounce back after a terrible loss versus the Vikings. I think the defense will show up big time, and yeah, give me the 49ers winning this one. For Sunday Night Football, man, I'm gonna just flat out say it. Give me the Falcons winning this one. As a Chiefs fan, I think this was an obvious trap game, unfortunately. Your offense has been playing mediocre. Tackle play hasn't been good. You just lost your leading rusher in Isaiah Pacheco. Travis Kelce hasn't shown up. Now for Travis Kelce's argument, you can say if you watch games, you can see the argument of him being used as a decoy. Andy Reid not really designed a place for Travis Kelce, but more of Andy Reid using Travis Kelce to get other people open. I think he has a big game this week, regardless win or lose. But overall, I think what coming off that win for the Falcons, I think with the trio of Jesse Bates, Justin Simmons, H.H. Terrell in your secondary, I think Rashee Rice gets limited to a large margin where you can't win the game, unfortunately, unless Travis Kelce and another receiver shows up. I don't know if you win this game with just one person showing up in Travis Kelce. You got to hope Rashee Rice gets open still. But if he doesn't, I need Travis Kelce and Xavier Worthy to show up, or maybe Juju or McColl. Somebody else has to. If not, I don't know how you can lean on a rushing game with Carson Steele. I love Carson Steele. Shout out Thor. But he's not Isaiah Pacheco. And unfortunately, I don't think we win this game. And I'm okay with that. Because I think it will open America's eyes and Chiefs Kingdom's eyes as this offense isn't as good. But I could just be talking out my ass. And on Sunday, we blow the Falcons out. We handle business on the road. Mahomes looks great. MVP Mahomes back on. Travis Kelce looks like that all-pro tight end we know him to be. Rashee Rice gets open. Xavier Worthy makes some plays. Hell, Carson Steele gets some big runs. Like, who knows? I could very well be talking out my ass. For the Chiefs defense and the Falcons offense, Bijan Robinson needs to get limited. You know, if the Chiefs win, it's because Bijan didn't show up. And I'm not saying that's his fault. It's because Spags limited him. If the Falcons win, Bijan had a big game. If the Falcons do win, Kirk Cousins was able to not get touched much. He must have not got sacked a lot. Kyle Pitts showed up. Drake London got his plays. They had a good offensive day if the Falcons win. I think their offense has to play elite for them to win this game. But yeah, I got the Falcons upsetting the Chiefs. That's my second upset of the week. If the Vikings don't deliver, this would officially be my upset of the week by the end of the night, man. But yeah, that's Sunday's slate. Thank you guys for listening. I just want to real quick apologize for the way I just sound, and I just mess up my words. You know, I'm not the best speaker yet, dog, and I hope to get better. Because really, I'm just spitballing. You know, I'm just talking off the top of my head. I got games down. I got scores down, but I'm spitballing like over reviews of the game, dog. I don't got a script. It would take me hours to get a script for every game, and I apologize for that. You know, hopefully I can be better in the future to speak more smoother. And yeah, guys, thank you guys for listening. If you did make it this far, if you didn't, it's all cool, dog. As long as you downloaded it and just gave me a listen or something, That's what's up. But of course, I appreciate you guys. Love you guys. On Monday, we'll recap the whole weekend of football. Talk some MLB if anything has changed. Get into some other news if anything else pops up over the weekend. But of course, as always, follow, like, share, do whatever you want with this podcast, brother or sister, if you are listening, man. But I love you guys. Thank you guys once again for listening. Stay blessed. Mwah. Catch you guys on Monday.